The first reading this morning can be found on page 967 of the Pew Bibles. It is from Matthew chapter 12, reading from verse 38, page 967. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation."
The second reading can be found on page 1051 of your Bibles, and it's John chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life."
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who approaches each one of us, a God who teaches us, and a God who wants us to be your children. We pray that as we have a look at this passage today, that you would teach us more from it, what it means to be a member of your kingdom, and help us to apply that in our lives. Amen. John's gospel is all about showing what it is that Jesus did and why we should believe. And he started off the first part of his talking about Jesus' public ministry in chapters 2, 3 and 4, contrasting old and new with some of the things that Jesus did. So in chapter 2, we have the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee, where he changed the water into wine. And then following that, we have the episode where he went into the temple and was outraged at all of the merchants, effectively, as far as he could see, defiling the temple. So he turfed them out. Skip across to chapter 4 and we have the encounter with the Samaritan woman, where he talked about, where he talked about new water flowing up to eternal life. And then he told the same woman about new worship. So we have the new from old, water into wine, the new temple that he talked about, new water and new worship. And in the middle of that, we have this passage that we're looking at now, which talks about new life. Now, because of the context of what was going on here, Jesus had just gone through and cleared out the temple. He'd probably put a lot of people's noses severely out of joint. They'd been doing things this particular way for as long as they could remember. And he had turned the whole thing on its head. Because of that, there were some people who were now starting to be opposed to him. And although the Jewish rulers hadn't yet become set in their ways and in the ways that they were opposing him, there was a possibility, there were some murmurings. One of those people, one of the members of that ruling council, was a man called Nicodemus. And he was interested in what he had seen so far, and he came to ask Jesus some questions. But because he was possibly worried about being opposed or being seen to be following Jesus when it might not be politically such a good idea at this stage, he came at night. And you see that in verse 2. Now, as a Pharisee, Nicodemus was a trained theologian. He had all of the background that was necessary to show him how to live as a child of God. But as Barry mentioned right at the start of this service, talking to religious people about Jesus can be a really hard thing to do if they aren't already locked into that. Because in many ways, people who already have a religious background but don't believe are a lot like teenagers. I know it all already. And then trying to actually convince them about something else, it's a difficult thing to do. So Nicodemus had seen Jesus performing his miracles. It had been talked about. But Nicodemus saw Jesus as a man. Have a look at verse 2. And it says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." Jesus answered to that through him, because Nicodemus was talking about the physical, and Jesus came back with an answer about the spiritual. Look at verse 3. "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." So Nicodemus, again, still thinking about the physical, not the spiritual, said, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Nicodemus wasn't the only one who missed the first thing that Jesus said to him. But interestingly enough, he missed most of the other clues that were handed his way as well, which we see in the next few verses. And sometimes what you know can prevent you from learning. Before Nicholas Copernicus came along in the early 16th century, everyone knew that the sun revolved around the earth and that the earth was flat. I mean, it was obvious, wasn't it? I mean, you know, the sun went across and the stars went across, so everything was revolving around the earth. But Copernicus was a fairly bright guy, and he was prepared to have a look and make some observations, and he was the first person to actually put down in writing a mathematical proof that showed that the earth went around the sun. Didn't go over very well. Sometimes, because of what people already know, they can't be taught what really is. And in a sense, that's where Nicodemus was at this stage. So what did Jesus say to him? Well, have a look at verses 5 and 6. In verse 5, he talked about how to enter the kingdom, you must be born of water and the Spirit. Now, we're celebrating a baptism today where we've been talking about those signs of the water and the Spirit. And so promises have been made on Holly's behalf that she will be brought up as a child of God. And so the symbols that we saw are the same symbols that Jesus used here in this passage. The Spirit is how God works in our lives today, and he prepares us to see that we need God. He gives us the words to say when we speak to God or speak to others about God. And he works in us to help us become more like God. Now, John had already said in the first chapter of this gospel what it was to be a child of God. And it's in John 1:13. I'll read it to you. To be a child of God has nothing to do with human parents. Children of God are not born because of human choice or because a husband wants them to be born. They are born because of what God does. Jesus then went on in verse 6 to talk about two different kinds of birth. He said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit in verse 6. And then pointed out to Nicodemus that this shouldn't have come to him as a surprise. Have a look at verses 7 and 8. You shouldn't be surprised by my saying you must be born again. And then he gives this great image of the Spirit. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. It's interesting that Nicodemus was taken off guard here, because the Old Testament actually talks about the water and the Spirit. And Nicodemus, as a trained theologian, should have known that. And in fact, the prophet Ezekiel said in chapter 36 these words, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave to your forefathers. And then there is a line which you see in many of the prophecies that led up towards Jesus. You will be my people and I will be your God. So here we have these two symbols, the water and the Spirit. They come from the Old Testament. Jesus reapplied them in the New Testament to talk about the new birth that we see in this passage. But Nicodemus didn't get it. Have a look at verse 9. How can it be? Nicodemus asked. And at this stage, Jesus could have, sat down and explained everything to him, but he figured, you've got the religious background. You've got the teaching. You should know these things. And so that's what he said to him in verses 10 onwards. You're Israel's teacher, and you don't understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to you what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Like many people who are looking for something, but they're looking in the wrong place, Nicodemus was initially closed to what Jesus had said. Now, Jesus had told him here of earthly things, the signs of the kingdom in believers, and he'd been misunderstood. So how is he to explain the heavenly things, the kingdom itself, and be understood by somebody who couldn't see what was around him? There's also an interesting point and counterpoint here, because in verse 2, Nicodemus says, we know, we as the Jewish rulers, the rulers of the people of the Old Covenant, know that there was something special about Jesus. Jesus answered in verse 11, we know, speaking of himself and those who would believe in him as the people of the new covenant. So again, you have the old and the new being used in those same two words. But finally, Jesus gave to Nicodemus some more clues as to why he came in verses 13 to 15. And he said this about himself: "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." The Son of Man was Jesus' favourite term for himself, and it comes from an image in Daniel chapter 7, where one like a Son of Man came to judge. But here Jesus predicted his death, saying that he must be lifted up. And he gave the reason for that death, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That's where the conversation with Nicodemus ended. We don't see any other comments about Nicodemus having talked to Jesus later on in John's Gospel, but we do see Nicodemus slowly changing. He came as someone he didn't understand. Jesus met him on his own terms. Because he had the religious background, he didn't have to give that back to him, but he started turning it around and showing him what it meant. And later on, in John's Gospel, we see Nicodemus mentioned two more times. One in chapter 7, when the Sanhedrin was starting to work out what to do about Jesus and how to get rid of him. And Nicodemus, although fairly timidly, said to the other members of the council that you shouldn't judge somebody without knowing what he was on about first. He came to Jesus' defence. So at this stage, he'd started along the road. But at the end of John's Gospel, when Jesus had been crucified and Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate to ask for the body so that he could bury Jesus, it was Nicodemus who came with him. It was Nicodemus who provided the aloes and the spices that were used to embalm Jesus' body. So at that point, Nicodemus had travelled that road and become a believer. We don't know what happened to him along the way, but although he didn't have the understanding at first, he was prepared to think about it, take it on board, and then come to his own understanding with God's help. So Jesus said three things in this passage which cover the basics of the gospel. First of all, in verses 3 and 5, that he said that to enter or even to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again spiritually. He also said that water is the symbol of that washing away so that we can enter God's presence. We also see that we can only enter the kingdom because of what God has done for us. It's not anything we can do for ourselves. And then finally, Jesus claimed that he himself was the entry point. By dying on the cross and being raised again, he became the way for us to enter the kingdom through faith in him. We are all on a spiritual journey somewhere, whether we recognize it or not, and we're at different stages of that journey. Jesus caught Nicodemus at a particular stage in that journey, helped him to see where he was walking in the wrong direction and changed his direction. Nicodemus, although he was, you might have a look and say, well, he was pretty thick. I mean, why didn't he get that stuff with all the knowledge he had? He's probably no dumber than us because we have the same information and in many cases we don't use it correctly either. But he was honest with what he heard. He went and he thought about it and he believed. That option is open to all of us through God's Spirit. Amen.